no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from Suspense. It's the Palmer Method, their story from April 20th, 1944. That's followed with The Saint and The Dame on the Doorstep, his story from November 12th, 1950.
Roma Wines present
Suspense.
Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you a star, Mr. Ed Gardner, better known to you, perhaps, as Archie, the proprietor of Duffy's Tavern, where the elite are wont to meet to eat. Mr. Gardner tonight makes his debut as a dramatic actor. He will not appear tonight as Archie, but in a role entirely different from any he has ever played before. And so with a suspense play called The Palmer Method, and with the performance of Ed Gardner as a pen-pushing gentleman named Joe Palmer, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Then I will be back at 8 o'clock.
Okay, that'll be okay.
You will be waiting for me?
Oh, don't worry, babe. I'll be here. Oh... Oh, will I be here?
Dear friend Harry, I'm sitting here the last 10 minutes knocking myself out laughing and wishing for somebody to tell it to. And then I get to thinking of you, so I'm going to write you the whole story. Harry, you got to admit that yours truly is one smart guy. Because in about an hour, they're going to bring me so much dough, they got to bring it in a suitcase. No kidding. Of course, it's the Spanish moolah, but even in the United States, it comes to about 10 grand. But I better start from the beginning so you can get the whole play. And if you don't say that your old pal is one smart guy, I am a monkey's uncle. It all begins about 4 months ago in New York when I'm on a lamb and expecting any minute that heavy hand is going to fall on my shoulders and I'm trying to think of something to do about it, you know. Happens I'm down to about $3, which makes the thinking a very tough proposition, even for a bright guy like me. Anyways, things being what they are, I naturally only go out at night. So one night I'm walking through the park in Union Square, still thinking and not getting very far.
Landed swamped in 46 states. Election X3, paper, mister?
Huh?
Yeah, want a paper? Latest election returns.
What election?
Are you kidding? The election for president. Roosevelt and Landon. Here, get a paper and wise up.
For a punk like you, I should get all excited every time they have an election.
Well, it wouldn't strain your mind, none. They only happen once every 4 years.
Eh, don't be such a wise kid.
Do you want a paper or don't you?
Ah, sure. Give me one. Here, keep the change.
Oh, gee, thanks.
And let that be a lesson to you, not to get wise with guys that might do you some good someday.
Well, thanks anyway. Thanks,
Spanish. Now, what am I going to do with this?
We are calling for volunteers to help the heroic Spanish people in their fight against fascism. If the fascism of Hitler and Mussolini is allowed to triumph in Spain, it'll overrun all Europe. And once democracy is crushed in Europe, it won't be long before democracy is attacked here in the United States. Hitler himself has promised
that. Hey, you
Spain
there.
Speaking to me?
Yeah, yeah. What's that guy all wound up about?
He's asking for volunteers for the Spanish Loyalist Army.
Oh, who are they fighting?
The
What's the matter? Don't you read the papers? I'm fighting a fascist revolt.
Listen, I got a paper here. You think I'm illiterate? I just get kind of mixed up once in a while.
Yeah, they put out a lot of propaganda to confuse you. With Hitler and Mussolini on Franco's side, anybody can see what the score is now.
Oh, sure, sure.
Look at that.
Anybody.
Fascist bomb Madrid. I just wish sometimes I didn't have a wife and kids. I'd go over there and get me a couple of licks at those guys.
Over to Spain, huh?
Yeah.
They send you over there, buy your ticket and all like that, do they?
Sure, they pay for your transportation. They raise quite a little money for that.
Hmm. Yeah. You don't happen to know where they sign up for this army, do you?
Well, he'll sign you up right there. Hey, you want to go?
Could be. Yeah. Why not? Sure, why not? You get the play, Harry? Not so dumb, huh? I not only lamb out of the country till I cool off, but I get a free ticket. It's what I always say, Harry. A guy with real brains can always get by. Of course, I know strictly from nothing about this war, but I naturally figure it's just one of them tango revolutions, you know, like you see in the movies with a couple of guys riding around shooting off their rods at nothing in particular, and pretty soon everybody goes home. But sometimes I wish I had read more of the front pages of the papers a little more, but when I get off the boat at Spain at a burg by the name of Barcelona, I find out this ain't such a funny war after all. This fascist mob is really knocking a joint around. There's shooting going on, and they're dropping bombs from airplanes, and the next thing you know, they got me in a uniform. Huh. So I'm standing there in the railroad station with a bunch of other guys, a whole mob of us, you know. It looked like the $2 winner at Belmont. It seems that we're going away somewhere, honey.
Next. Step up here, please. Next. Your name, please?
Padway. George Padway.
Padway. Your number 336, car 7, compartment 3. Next, please.
Palmer. Joe Palmer.
How did you spell it, please?
P-A-L-M-E-R. Like the Palmer method.
Oh, yes, Palmer. George 337, car 7, compartment 3, with Padway. Next, please. Step up, please. Next.
Hey, you, Padway.
Someone calling me?
Yeah, come here. Look, my name is Joe Palmer. We're supposed to ride in the same compartment or something?
Oh, splendid. That's car 7. It's down this way, I imagine.
Well, glad you know. I can't make head and tail out of these dinky rattlers.
Of course. You're American, aren't you?
What else?
Here, let me give you a hand with your gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks. Hey, these guys over here take this war pretty serious, don't they?
Well, rather. What did you expect?
Yeah. See, from what I see around this Barcelona, it looks to me like if they ain't careful, somebody's apt to liable to get killed here.
Well, if you think this is bad, what about Madrid? They're dying up there by the thousands.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Madrid? Ain't that where this train is going?
Well, of course. They're sending us up to keep them out of University City, if we can.
And you say they're knocking them off up there by the thousands?
I'm afraid so.
Hmm. That ain't good.
You're not worried, are you, old man?
Well, no, but I'm just thinking that...
Papers, please. Padway, 336.
No,
and George Palmer, 337.
No, I'm...
All in order.
Hey, wait a minute. You got us mixed up. Well, how do you like that?
Seemed to have got us mixed up, what?
Yeah.
That would be funny, wouldn't it, if they got us mixed up, you, Padway, and me.
Yeah, that would be funny, all right. That would be very funny.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines bring you as star, radio's famous Archie, Ed Gardner, whom you've heard in the prologue to The Palmer Method by Ernest Martin and Robert L. Richards. Tonight's adventure in Suspense.
In this brief intermission in the play, let us journey in fancy to Havana and sit at a table in the gay Restaurant Paris. At the next table, we see a farewell party given for an American visitor. The American is wondering how he'll be able to repay in his own country the hospitality shown him in Cuba. Reassuringly, his Cuban host remarks, "Es muy fácil, amigo. Just be sure to serve wonderful Roma wine. It is wine imported by us from your own country, Roma wine." Indeed, Americans can well be proud that judges of fine wines in so many lands now acclaim the wines of California among the world's most enjoyable of all time. Of these truly superb wines, Roma wines are America's largest selling wines. If you aren't already one of the millions enjoying Roma wines regularly, as a delicious beverage anytime, to add sparkle to any meal, to smarten your entertaining, make your own taste test to choose your favorite, choosing from Roma wines' many different wine types. When you learn their modest cost here in America, with no import duty to pay, no expensive shipping charges to absorb, you'll know why we say Roma wines are for your daily enjoyment. I'll spell out the name for you. R-O-M-A. Roma wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now let us return to Joe Palmer as he sits in a hotel room in Spain writing a letter. Ed Gardner is our star in the Palmer Method, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Well, Harry, there I was, on a train heading straight for Madrid where they're knocking guys off every 5 minutes, which is naturally a little upsetting to a sensitive person like myself. And, anyways, I get to thinking about this Padway guy I'm riding with. I can see there's something different about him from the rest of these guys, so I get to thinking about a plan.
I say, what in the world are you doing there? You've been working away at it the last half an hour.
I'm just practicing.
Practicing what?
The Palmer Method.
What in heaven's name is the Palmer Method?
You never heard of the Palmer Method?
No.
It's penmanship, you know, the way they learn you to write when you're a kid. Some guy named Palmer invented it. You see, you make these ovals and lines, and pretty soon it learns you how to use your whole arm. See? Makes your writing very pretty.
Aren't you a little old for that sort of thing?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. With me, it's a business.
You're an instructor in penmanship?
Yeah, that's it. Instructor in penmanship.
What's so funny?
Well, look, when I was a punk kid in PS4, you know, the only subject I can pass is penmanship. I'm a whiz at it, you know, so naturally, my name being Palmer and all, it's kind of a standing joke in the school, you know, the kids would holler, Joe Palmer, he flunks in everything but writing. That's the Palmer method.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's how it started, but now I still like to keep in practice because, like I say, by this time, with me, it's a business.
But I still don't quite see how it can be much of a business.
You ask a lot of questions, don't you?
Well, I'm terribly sorry, old man. I don't mean to pry, you know.
Oh, it's all right. What about you?
Me?
Yeah. How about me asking you a couple of questions?
Why, of course, anything you like.
You're English, eh?
That's right.
Yeah, I could tell that right away.
Really?
Yeah, I could also tell that you're not exactly a stumble bum. I bet your old man is in the chips, huh?
You mean wealthy? Matter of fact, he is, rather.
Maybe even a lord or something?
Oh, no, nothing like that, really. Lesser nobility, you know.
I thought so. Big shot, huh? You ever been to this Madrid before?
No, never have.
You know anybody there?
Not a soul, as a matter of fact. At it again, I see. I say, you know, you never did tell me about that Palmer business.
You mean how come it's a business with me?
Mm-hmm.
I write checks.
Write checks?
Yeah, with other people's names on them. I might add that I'm about the top man in the profession, too.
Oh, you're a...
Yeah, I guess they call it the same thing in England, don't they? Forgery. Oh, sure, I told him, so what? He don't know anybody in this Madrid, and I figure he ain't gonna know much about me, and he ain't gonna say much anyhow. Although I still don't know quite how I'm gonna do it. But then I get one of them breaks, Harry, that even a smart guy needs sometimes. By this time, it's night, and we're rattling along with the lights out, blacking on the inside of a nickel cigar, and I wait to see if maybe Padway will go to sleep or something. Well, the next thing I know, I must have dozed off myself. As I hear a noise, and as I look out, I see it's daylight already, and we're coming to a big berg. Padway's awake, too, and he's looking over at me.
You dropped something, Palmer?
No, I thought you did.
No. Well, oh, hello. We must be getting into Madrid.
Madrid, huh?
Sure enough, pulling into the station now.
Oh, that's great. That's fine.
I say, old boy, you look a bit peaked. Anything wrong?
No, I'm fine. Hey, what was that?
A bomb, most likely.
A bomb?
That's it, all right. They're bombing the city, I suppose.
Yeah, hey, they ain't gonna bomb us, are they?
By Jove, I think they are.
What do we do, Padway? What do we do now?
Do? Keep down on the floor and hope for the best.
The best better be awful good.
This is a bit ironic, I must say. Oh, watch out for this one.
Good. Padway! Padway! Honest, Harry, what happens to that train should happen to Sing Sing Prison. I look around and there's Padway over by the door, out like a light. And I can see that he ain't long for this world, the poor guy. Me, I'm lucky. I don't have a scratch. So naturally, now is when I go to work. I go through his pockets and take out his papers. There's a passport, some letters, and a wallet with quite a bit of dough in it. So I take a couple of things out of my own pocket and I put them in his. Only just then, Padway starts coming out of it. Well, Harry, what would you do if you were me? Like I say, I am opposed to violence as much as anybody. But there he is looking at me. And the guy ain't gonna live long anyway. So I grab me rifle and I tap him on the noggin. Sure enough, he's gone again. But for good this time. And none too soon, because there's some guys coming down to the rescue. One of the guys pokes his head into my door.
Bien aquí.
Come again?
You all right in here?
Yeah, I guess so. What happened?
Don't you know? You're lucky to be alive.
Oh, yeah, I know, but this guy here, he wasn't so lucky.
Huh? Oh. Dead, all right. Do you know him?
Yeah. But I forget what name he told me. He's got his papers on him, I think.
Oh, let me see here. Oh, yes. Joseph Aloysius Palmer.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Palmer, yeah.
Poor fellow. What? He died in a good cause.
You're right there, brother. He certainly died in a good cause.
You get it, Harry? Joe Palmer, who was wanted by the New York cops, is dead. And George Padway, the big-shot Englishman, is me. So I duck out quick to a hotel, I get me a change of clothes, and I figure maybe I better take a look through the rest of Padway's stuff to see if maybe I can get an angle. Well, I find this letter on him from some guy named E. Valenkos. This letter says Valenkos looks forward to meeting Padway and names a time and a place. Now, anybody else, Harry, this letter might have threw for quite a loss, but not yours truly, because I know that Valenkos has never seen Padway. The letter practically says that, and Padway himself has told me he don't know nobody in Madrid. You catch on? And I figure this Valenkos is probably just the guy to get me out of this army. So, what do I do? I simply take me pen in hand and I write a letter. Very nice and neat. In George Padway's handwriting. Dear Valenkos, I says, I will likewise look forward to meeting you at the time and place you say. Signed, George Padway. So, the next night, I go to keep the date. No fooling, Harry. This Madrid is really in tough shape since this fascist mob has been giving it the business. People is all poor and hungry, especially the women and kids, so naturally, I feel sorry for them as I brush them off and walk into this hot spot. Well, I take a corner table and I tell the waiter I'm expecting a Mr. Valenkos. So I'm sitting there practicing with me pencil and paper, making me lines and circles, and the next thing you know, I ain't alone.
Hello?
Oh. Hello, Toots. What's cooking?
What are you doing?
Just practicing.
Ah. What is it? A secret code?
Yeah, that's right. The Palmer code.
I like it. It's pretty.
Yeah. You ain't so unpretty yourself, babe. Only I got some business tonight.
Oh. Aren't you going to ask me to have a drink?
Look, how about getting out of here and going someplace else for it, though, huh?
What about your business?
Well, with a babe like you around, I'm afraid the business will have to wait a little.
Well, where shall we go?
How about going up to my hotel room?
You mean room 359?
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. How did you know?
What is your name, senor?
George Padway. So what?
You are well known, senor.
Oh, sure, but...
My name is Elena.
That's fine, Elena, but now about...
My last name is Villancos.
Villancos? Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Oh, no. I do not think so.
So you're the Villancos I'm supposed to meet here. Well, in that case, Elena, just call me George.
Of course, George. But now, George, I think perhaps we had better go to that hotel room of yours after all, huh?
Oh, sure, sure. It'd be a good idea.
But only for business, George.
Of course, naturally.
But there is one thing I cannot wait to do.
What's that?
Congratulate you.
Oh, thanks. For what?
Why, for that troop train job, of course.
Oh, well, it wasn't nothing, really.
But there is still something I do not understand.
What's that, baby?
How did you manage to blow it up while you yourself were on it?
Let's go up to the room. We'll talk it all over, huh?
George, you still have not told me how you blew up the train and did not get killed yourself.
Well, do I have to tell you everything?
Perhaps that is why you are so successful, eh? You have your little secrets.
Trade secrets. There's secrets in every trade, you know.
But of course I forget. You got your training with the Gestapo in Berlin.
They taught me a couple of things.
Tell me, were you in contact with the firm of Krupp when you were in Berlin?
Well, I saw something of them, naturally.
And what about Deutsche's farming industry?
Very fine frame, huh? I guess there's a lot of dough on our side, huh?
Oh, but of course, we have the money. The others, the scum. They have the rags on their backs. And the few rifles they get from the Bolsheviks.
Hmm. Yeah, sure, but about this money.
Yes, George?
You see, the fact is, I'm a little short myself.
Well, we always have more work for you to do.
Oh, sure, but first, don't you think that...
So that is why you are so suspicious with me. You want first the money.
Well, that's the usual way, ain't it?
But of course, I can arrange that. How much do you want?
Well, how much do you figure this job is worth?
Well, perhaps as much as 50,000 pesetas.
How much is that in United States dollars? I mean, pounds.
About 1,000 pounds?
I don't think I can do it for that kind of dough.
1,000 pounds is a lot of money, George.
Yeah, but think of the expenses.
What expenses?
Well, things like, this dynamite, for instance. You know, you don't get that stuff for peanuts.
Oh, George, you are teasing me. I will get you all the dynamite you want for nothing.
How about the element of personal risk? This racket ain't exactly the healthiest in the world, neither, you know.
There you are right, George. It is a risky profession to be a fascist saboteur.
That's what I'm telling you.
How much do you want?
Well, I don't see how I can play ball for less than 100,000 of them pesetas.
Very well, we will pay it.
Well, that's swell of you, Toots. How soon can I have the dough?
I will have it here within an hour.
Okay, it's a deal. And then maybe you and me will still have time to go out on a little bender, huh?
Yes, perhaps we will.
Yeah, and look, make it small bills, will you? They're easier to handle.
It's a lot of money, but my friends and I will bring it in a suitcase.
Swell. And one thing, Alina, for this next job, you might have to help me get out of the country for a little while. You know, I got certain arrangements that I got to make.
There will be no trouble there, I can assure you.
Well, that's a real pal, Alina. I won't forget it, neither.
I know you won't, George. Oh, George, there is one thing. Just a little formality so I can be sure to get the money.
Oh, sure, babe. Anything you say.
Would you write a little note for me so they will know I contacted you, you see?
A note? What does the note say?
Oh, just something like, I, Padway, have contacted Elena Villancos, and we are agreed on future procedure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that'll be all right. Okay, I have contacted Elena Villancos, and we are agreed on future procedure. Signed, George Padway. Hey, huh? Okay.
Thank you, George.
Well, I think you better run along now, huh?
Then I will be back at 8 o'clock.
Okay, that'll be okay.
You will be waiting for me?
Don't worry, babe. I'll be here. Brother, will I be here? So now, Harry, you can see why I'm practically killing myself laughing while I'm writing this letter. Of course, while I'm writing that note in Padre's handwriting, I can hardly keep my face straight. You know, it's so right up my alley. Only thing that worries me a little is my conscience, if you can call that what I got a conscience on account of it. Really makes me sore the way this fascist mob I'm hooked up with is kicking the rest of the people around. However, I'm in up to my ears now, too, so I got to think about yours truly first, right? But maybe when I get in the clear someday, I'll figure out a way to get a crack at these guys myself on account of, believe me, Harry, these fascists is really a bunch of no-good crumbs. And I guess that'll even have to go for Alina. But now the hour's about up, and I think I hear somebody coming down the hall now. I'll tell you the payoff on all this when I see you in little old New York. In the meantime, Harry, keep your shirt on and try not to die from envy of your old friend Joe Palmer. Okay, babe, I'm coming. Well, right on time, huh?
Yes. Senor Padway, this is Senor Martinez, Senor Fuentero.
Oh, hiya, fellas. Got the old suitcase, huh? Have any trouble getting the dough?
No, no trouble.
Well, maybe we better open it up and count it, huh? Yeah, you know, just in case.
Yes, I think we should. Go on, open it.
Yes, senor.
You know, Elena, I never would have... Hey, what's that Tommy gun doing in there? Where's the dough?
What's the matter? Are you afraid, my fascist friend?
Wait a minute, what about you? Ain't you?
Not quite. I am an agent of the Republic of Spain, Senor Padway. We have been waiting a long time to trap you, my friend, but now... We bring you your reward.
Elena, wait a minute. Tell that guy to put that gun away. You gotta let me explain. I ain't no fascist. My name ain't even Padway. My name is Joe Palmer. I'm an American guy. I just come over here to fight for your side. No kidding. You can find it out from your friends in New York. I'm the guy that even killed Padway.
Who wrote the letter to me? Who wrote the note for me tonight in the handwriting that we even compared with all our other correspondence with Padway just to make sure?
Well, I did, sure, but that's me racket, handwriting, forgery. I'm telling you, I'm Joe Palmer.
Can you prove it?
Sure I can. Yeah. I guess maybe I can't, huh?
The handwriting.
Yeah. Yes, like I said to Padway, I'm the best in the business. It's kind of funny now, ain't it?
We're wasting time.
Okay. Guess there's no use talking. Guess I've been a heel. I outsmarted myself. But I want you to know one thing. I was really kind of on a level in my own way towards the end, but... Oh, what's the difference? Just one thing I want you to know. For your own information, I'm swearing it. The guy you're bumping off is Joe Palmer of the International Brigade. Palmer. Like the... Like
oh,
the
I'm
Palmer.
Not in it.
Palmer...
A smart agent. One must say that for him.
Yes. He was very, very smart.
And so closes The Palmer Method, starring Ed Gardner. Tonight's tale of suspense.
Before Mr. Gardner returns to our microphone, let me give you a suggestion that you will find can add to the success of your next dinner party at home. At one end of the dining table, place a bottle of Roma Wine's hearty, full-bodied Burgundy. At the other table end, place a bottle of Roma Wine's delicately delicious Sauterne. And then let each of your guests select the Roma wine to his liking. You will know that whatever the individual choice of a guest, both of these Roma California wines will delight by their superb quality. The quality that has made Roma wines America's largest selling wines. In Roma, you have the old world art of winemaking, plus the extra care, constant tasting and testing, which modern knowledge adds. While the superb quality of these good Roma wines will win your full accord with the judgment of wine experts of many lands, that Roma wines are truly magnificent. Let me repeat the name. R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Well, this is Ed Gardner, alias Archie, speaking again. It's been a great pleasure to be on Suspense on account of it's one of my favorite shows. And next week, I hope you'll all be listening into the show like the Gang of Duffy's all will be, when the star will be Gene Kelly. Thank you.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Don't forget then next Thursday for Gene Kelly in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
If a body meets a body coming through the old-fashioned, need a body...
It should be coming through the rye.
I prefer old-fashioned. That's my doorstep you're on.
I know.
You like my doorstep?
Oh, I think it's a very nice doorstep.
Well, thanks. Are you collecting doorsteps or merely homesteading them?
Well, my idea was to wait until you got here and then go in with you.
That's a very nice idea. To match my doorstep, I suppose. Will you come in?
Uh-huh.
There. You have a couple of nice ideas. Would you like a drink?
We haven't been introduced yet.
You're right.
I'm Wendy Brown.
How do you do? And will you still have a drink?
I don't think so.
Well, why not?
Because I'm afraid.
Wendy, may I assure you there is no fate worse than death?
But it's death that I'm afraid of.
We'll postpone the drinks. Death in general, or...
Have you ever heard of a man named Harry Morgan?
Harry Morgan? Mm. I used to be a pirate by that name, and... Hey, wait a moment. The contemporary Harry Morgan was a crook on a very high plane.
That's the one I mean. He's going to kill me.
But I thought, if I remember correctly, that he was spending the rest of the 20th century in Guatemala, or Point South.
Oh, he's coming back to this country.
Oh, I see. It was in the newspapers?
Oh, no. He owes the government lots and lots of money on income taxes. They've been after him for a long time. He wouldn't dare come back openly.
Well, then...
He's being flown in secretly tomorrow night.
It's not been a terribly well-kept secret.
But he is coming, and I'm afraid.
Harry Morgan doesn't like you.
Well, he and I... We used to be... That is, we were sort of friends.
That sounds comfortable.
When he had to leave the country suddenly, he asked me to keep some things for him.
Things like what?
Things like jewelry.
And you did?
His idea was I would sell the jewels and send the money on to him.
And you didn't sell the jewels?
Oh, I sold them all right, but...
But you didn't send him the money.
Well, I felt that he owed me something.
And you collected. Now he's coming back, you're afraid he'll try to collect, huh?
Yes, he'll want to hurt me. Simon?
Hmm?
Do you think I should be hurt?
Whenever blondes with ideas get closer than a foot from me, I stop thinking. It's a family failing.
Hmm. I'll go away.
The family disowned me. Wendy, how did you find out about Morgan's returning to this country?
Oh, Sammy told me.
Sammy being...
He's a punch-drunk little prize fighter who spends all his time hanging around bars. His favorite's the Green Star on Third Avenue.
Which might explain how he picked the news up. Where is Morgan's plane landing?
Oh, Sammy didn't tell me that.
That's important for a number of reasons. I think maybe I'll have to find Sammy and have a talk with him.
You're going to help me, Simon?
Well, I don't believe in blondes being killed. I think it's unconstitutional or something. Besides, Harry Morgan is a bad man, so...
Oh, Simon. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this.
If you can't tell me, better not demonstrate. Not tonight. I've got to find Sammy. Now, you go home, lock your door, and stay behind it.
All right, Simon.
There's less than 24 hours in which to find Sammy, discover where Morgan's landing, and pacify him, if that's the word I mean. Good night, Wendy, and wish me luck. You'll need it.
Taxi! Taxi!
North to south, east to west, yell for Louis, he'll do the rest.
Hello, Louis.
Hello, Mr. Templer.
I'm glad to see you.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Would it be too much trouble for you to drive me someplace?
Where would you like to go?
The Green Star Bar on 3rd Avenue.
Okay. Hey, but that's a very low-type bar. Sawdust on the floor, sulfuric acid in the drink.
Well, I'm not going there to drink, Louis.
Oh, you got a date there?
Perhaps.
Blonde?
I don't know. The name is Sammy.
Don't sound like a blonde.
Relax, Louis. It's a business date. Sammy, I've been told, is a broken-down prize fighter.
Oh, I know the guy you mean. He's a lush with cauliflowers.
Sounds like an accurate description.
Also, he ain't very healthy.
I'm sure he's not. However, I hope he lives until we get to him.
Hey, Joe.
Yes, yeah, Sammy.
Another shot, huh?
Okay.
I leave the bottle sitting there, huh?
Take it easy, Sammy.
What's the matter? You afraid I ain't got the dough? Yeah. Get a load of this.
Okay. You got the dough.
So leave the bottle.
Where'd you get all the folding stuff, Sammy?
I bet you'd like to know.
Suit yourself. Clam up.
I got it because I'm smart, see? Yeah. I know things. Yeah. Things a few certain parties was very much interested in.
Fix in a race?
Nah. But another certain party was arriving in these here United States tomorrow night.
Anybody I know?
Hey, what's the matter? You think you can make me blabber all over the joint?
Okay. Only I wouldn't go around shooting my mouth off if... forget it. Phone. Keeps yapping all the time. Green Star Bar. Yeah, Sammy's here. Who wants him? Who? Hey. Hung up.
Who was it?
I don't know. Kind of a whispering voice.
Yeah? I better get out of here. I better get out of here fast. Yeah,
but Sammy...
Save the rest of the bottle for me.
That's the Green Star up ahead. Oh, Mr. Temple, you see that little guy just coming out?
Yeah, I see him.
That's Sammy.
Oh, wait here, Louis. I want to talk to him.
Okay. Be careful, Mr. Temple, that car!
That was Sammy. Come on, Louis. After him, come on.
But Sammy might need some help.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Louis, faster. Are you a man or a mouse?
I don't know. I squeak easy, then never mind. The car ahead of us got mud on the license plate. I don't think by accident. Hey, they're shooting at us. I ain't insured. What'll happen to my wife and six kids?
You don't have a wife and six kids.
One thing I'll tell you for sure. If their aim gets any better, I'll never have a wife and six kids. I've been hit.
What? Louis, where?
In the left rear. The tire.
That's that. Come on. We may as well go back and see how Sammy is, if he still is.
Ambulance ought to be here pretty soon, Mr. Temple. He don't look good, though.
No. Sammy.
We couldn't have seen who shot him. We didn't either.
There's something else. Sammy. Who were the people you told about Morgan? Sammy?
Girl. Tipped off. Girl.
Wendy?
Yeah. Nice.
Who else?
Couple of guys.
Who were they? Sammy?
Yeah?
Where is Morgan being landed? Where is his plane coming in?
Don't.
Sammy. Goodbye, Sammy. Bartender?
Another cop.
I beg your pardon?
I said another cop. You mind?
No, except that I'm not a policeman. You're a bartender, though.
You must be a detective.
My name is Simon Templar.
Templar? You see?
Yes. I saw Sammy gunned to death outside this bar a couple of hours ago.
Is that so?
Yeah, I went down to the hospital with him. They did a quick autopsy.
So?
Sammy had a lot of money in his pocket. He only had one or two drinks before leaving this bar.
I already told the cops that.
Yeah, they're terribly grateful.
He bought himself a bottle...
and didn't finish it. That's why I came back here.
You want to finish it?
Bartender, I think you'd better listen closely. From what I've heard of Sammy, nothing but the fear of death would have driven him away from an unfinished bottle of liquor. Why did he leave the bar?
Somebody called up, asked for him.
Who?
The guy didn't say. He hung up on me.
Guy, meaning man?
I don't know. It was a whisper. You can't tell much from a whisper.
Who'd be worried about Harry Morgan's returning to this country?
I don't know that neither. And I don't want no part of
it. You've already bought yourself a part, bartender. You didn't tell the police about that phone call.
They didn't ask me.
Yeah, they'd be unhappy about your coin. You wouldn't want them to be unhappy. They could do things about your license and their sorrow.
Oh.
Who'd be worried about Morgan?
I'm talking to myself, you understand? I ain't telling you nothing.
Go ahead, I'll eavesdrop.
Morgan had a girl named Wendy Brown who...
Never mind her. I already know about that.
Also, he left the nightclub in charge of a couple of guys named Kerrigan and Marlowe. Talk's been going around that Kerrigan and Marlowe ain't been too regular, shipping the gambling receipts to Morgan. I just finished talking to myself.
Thank you, bartender. You may have a drink on them.
On you?
No. On Sammy. I'm in Alaska. Saskatchewan, Alaska. And besides, Saskatchewan isn't in Alaska.
Simon, you've been drinking.
Sure, a bottle of real lemon juice.
Lemon juice?
Yeah, the weather forecast said rain, an ounce of prevention's where... Hey, it is raining out. Now, look, Wendy, why don't you wait until morning?
It happens to be 12:30 in the afternoon.
I've been robbed. I guess I was up pretty late last night.
Simon, have you seen the papers yet? About Sammy?
No, I did better. I saw Sammy. Oh,
Simon, I'm frightened.
Now stay where you are. I'll grab a cab, come over, and we'll be frightened together.
Oh, but if you were here, I wouldn't be frightened.
Neither would I. But we're not going to be there. We're going to visit a couple of gentlemen. And I probably used the word ill-advisedly, named Kerrigan and Marlowe.
Oh, Simon. Now I'm afraid all over again.
Yeah, it's still raining, Wendy.
Simon, do we have to?
We have to.
I don't get it.
Louis, has anybody passed a law recently that you should?
I still don't get it. Fella takes a girl to a nightclub. Fine, this I understand.
Hooray!
But not in the middle of the day. A nightclub is called a nightclub on account of...
Louis!
Yeah?
We've arrived.
Oh. I didn't recognize the joint in the daytime on account of...
I know. It's a nightclub. Wendy?
All right.
I wait.
You wait. You've been here before, Wendy?
Yes, with Harry. He, owns it.
Tell me, is there any other entrance than this one?
Yes, through the alley.
Yeah. Let's go that way, then. I like alleys. You meet interesting cats in them. Don't be frightened. Hello.
But you... Why, Wendy.
Hello, Kerrigan.
And I'm Simon. And where are you going with that nice suitcase?
Ain't none of your business.
Perhaps not. It could be Morgan's business, though, or the police department. Come on, let's go back in.
Look, I got some dough in here. You can have...
No, it might have blood on it.
I told you...
Don't reach into your pocket to tell me.
Go! Pretty little pistol.
I think I'll keep it to remember you by. Come on, you're going back in.
All right.
The officer's down here. I'll put the suitcase away.
It's tidy of you. Where's your partner?
Marlo? Well, he's around someplace.
Uh-huh. Where's Morgan landing, Kerrigan?
I don't know. Marlo got the dope from Sammy.
You're sure he didn't?
Why not ask me,
Sammy.
Friend?
You would be Marlo. All right, I will ask you. Where is Morgan landing?
Guess.
Sammy told you then?
The punk was dead before I got to him.
Oh? Then you've been out looking for him last night, huh?
Kerrigan, you...
No, Kerrigan didn't tell me. Doesn't have to now, does he?
I think maybe you ought to take a walk, Flint.
Oh, no, my feet hurt, huh?
More than that's gonna hurt.
Sorry, I have a gun, too. True, it happens to be Kerrigan's, but then I did leave him his suitcase.
Suitcase?
Don't pay any attention.
What's in it, Kerrigan?
Just some clothes.
Open her up.
Now, as a matter of fact...
I said open her up.
All right, Marlo. I'll open it.
Stay away from that light.
Simon, the light. Simon? Simon?
Oh, Wendy, let go of me.
Simon, no, please. Don't leave me, please.
Take it easy, Wendy.
I think we're alone. Light switch was over this way.
Simon, look. Near the door.
Yes, correction. We're not alone. Mr. Marlowe is still with us. A very dead Mr. Marlowe.
Kerrigan shot him in the dark.
Maybe.
Well, you said that awfully funny.
Did I? Don't forget, Wendy, Kerrigan wasn't the only one here in this room with Marlowe.
Simon.
Sit down a minute, Wendy. I've got to call the police.
And then?
Then we'll go back to our cab. Louis must be doing a lot of ticking outside.
Oh, Simon, my poor hat.
It's just another couple of steps.
Oh.
Here we are, Wendy.
Yeah.
Well, Louis, did you miss it?
What else? Welcome home. Well, where to?
I wish I knew.
Who made with the firecrackers?
That happens to be the problem, Louis.
I don't want to hear about it, because if those were firecrackers, I'm driving a truck.
What's wrong with driving a truck?
Who said something was wrong?
Truck drivers happen to be among the most courteous drivers on the road.
Yeah, well, look, Mr. Temple, I got nothing.
They're always there to help a motorist in trouble. They'll
Mr. Temple,
go out
stop
of...
already with the truck drivers. I know there are wonderful class characters. All of them got PhDs... What happened back there in the club?
A man got shot very dead because another man carrying a nice suitcase filled with money not belonging to him didn't want to open the suitcase and let the other man see it.
Ask a silly question?
But Simon, it's getting late, terribly late. Harry Morgan is on his way, and I'm...
Oh, stop worrying about Morgan. Maybe the whole thing was just a rumor.
Oh, it was not.
What?
I said it was not a rumor about Morgan coming back.
Oh?
Furthermore, what's been bothering you was where his plane is going to deposit him, no?
Yes.
So ask me.
Louis, I will probably assassinate
you. It ain't a joke. Ask me.
All right. Where is Morgan's plane landing?
A private landing field up at Boonchester. Want to know what time it's landing?
Look, I don't believe any of this, but what time is it landing?
Midnight tonight.
I'll hate myself in the morning, but tonight I've got to know. Louis, how did you find out?
I listened to the radio.
What time is it, Simon?
10. How much longer to Boonchester, Louis?
Hour and a half, maybe.
We should be in time. Louis, repeat.
Huh?
The broadcast you listened to.
Oh, yeah, sure. The man said Morgan, who has been spending the last couple of years in Guatemala, is returning via private plane to the United States.
Sammy was right,
when
Simon.
Questioned by correspondents about his wanted for income tax evasion, Mr. Morgan replied he's been in communication with the United States Treasury Department. He's arranged to meet his obligations to them.
Sammy was right, but in that case...
Morgan's plane is due to land at Boonchester Airport midnight tonight. A bulletin from a woman's college in the Midwest states that from now on, all women are.
All women are what, Louis?
How do I know? It's where I turned off the radio, because people started shooting guns in the nightclub.
Simon, I don't understand. If Harry had told reporters he was coming back to this country, if it was even on the radio... Why did Sammy make such a big secret of it?
Well, he did have the news earlier than anyone else did.
But not earlier enough to make any difference to anyone.
Except Sammy. To him, it meant the difference between it's corny, but it's true, between life and death.
We're getting close.
The time is, a few minutes before 12.
Simon.
Yes, Wendy?
Well, why do we have to meet Morgan when he lands?
Well, he has to know that he can't plan to murder you.
But maybe he'll try at the airport.
No, that's the only place you can be absolutely sure he'll try nothing.
Well, what do you mean?
He's coming back to put himself on the right side of the law. Murder's against the law.
Oh, he'll find a way. A way to kill me, to kill Kerrigan. Marlowe's already dead.
He can't afford to risk anything here, Wendy. Perhaps I can make him realize that he...
Hey, this must be the airport. It ain't much.
No. It's a private field. It's deserted at the moment. The landing lights are on, though.
No welcoming committee. Here's the landing strip. I better pull up.
Well, at least the rain has stopped.
Oh, but it's so cold.
Yeah, the ground's wet. Now, be careful.
Gee, it's like a stage set, Simon. The brilliant lights and then the darkness all around. And the... the emptiness.
Well, it's only a little longer.
Simon, listen.
Yeah. Hey, that's a plane. Getting closer. Sky is overcast,
wait a minute.
But...
I can see his lights.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. He's angling for a landing. Hey, Louis, stay in the cab.
Okay,
yeah, he's setting her down. Hey, he did a beautiful job. Not very far now. The plane's skidding a bit, but he's got her straightened out. Come on, Wendy.
Yeah.
Mr. Morgan, I presume?
You presume right. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Harry.
You mind if we join you? It's a little damp down here.
Come on up.
All right. Up you go, Wendy. Now me.
Well, Wendy, they put you on the welcome committee, huh?
Harry, don't look at me like that, please.
My name is Templer.
Yeah? What are you doing here?
I'm insurance.
Your what?
Wendy's insurance. Against your losing your temper.
I never lose my temper. I never lose anything.
How was the weather back in Guatemala?
Fine when I took off. Why?
Nothing. Anything happen on the flight?
No.
It's a very nice plane.
Happens to be the best twin motor job built.
Yeah, I can believe that. The pilot seat's nice and dry. Floor of the cabin, nice and dry.
Hey, what cooks with him, Wendy? Does he want to grow up and be a weatherman?
Everything's nice and dry, Morgan. Except your shoes.
What was that?
Your shoes are wet.
Hey.
It's company. Let's see who it is. Well, the vanishing Mr. Kerrigan. Come in.
My, Kerrigan. Carrying a gun like a real big boy.
Never mind the gags, Morgan. Sammy's dead, so's Marlowe.
That's very sad news you're telling me. Want me to break down and blubber?
I'm on the spot for both killings, Morgan.
That's very sad. Why'd you kill him?
I didn't.
You might as well save your breath on that one, too, Kerrigan. You see, Morgan's shoes are wet.
What?
It was fine weather in Guatemala when Morgan took off. The plane doesn't leak. He just landed it. Hasn't been off the plane yet. How did he get his shoes wet, huh?
Look out!
Very nice shooting, Morgan. You got his arm. Very nice shooting indeed.
Yeah, even wearing wet shoes. I'll take your gun, Kerrigan. Thank you. You were saying, Templar?
There's only one way you could have got your shoes wet, Mr. Morgan. You must have been out in the rain.
Yeah?
Which means this is your second landing. Yeah, Mr. Morgan was around New York yesterday and today. Then he got back to his plane, flew around a bit, and landed it all over again on the schedule he'd given the press. It would have made a nice alibi.
Alibi for...
the Sammy's murder and Marlowe's. Too bad he got his shoes wet.
Yes. Too bad for you, Templar. Sure, I landed here yesterday, went to town, and took care of a couple of things. In other words, Sammy and Marlowe got killed while
I was officially flying in from South America.
It's a lovely alibi. One of the loveliest alibis I've ever met. It's a pity it had to be destroyed.
It hasn't been. It's going to stand up after the three of you get yourselves mixed up in a gunfight and knock yourselves off.
Think you could get away with it?
I can try. What have I got to lose?
Your pilot's license at least.
What?
Simon, you knocked him off.
So I did. He must have a very weak jaw. Louis, you angel.
I seen the other guy, you know, the one bleeding from the arm, seen him climb into the plane. I didn't know you was expecting him, so I thought maybe I'd come and keep you company, too.
And I'm very glad you did, Louis. But even the best of parties must come to an end, so, Louis, will you phone the police and inform them that Harry Morgan has made his last landing?
But, Simon...
Yes, Wendy?
You must have known that Morgan had killed Sammy and Marlowe before we even got to the airport.
I did. The wet shoes helped me convince Morgan I knew, but... Wendy, why was Sammy killed?
Well, I thought because he'd gone around telling people about Morgan... That's not right, though, is it?
No, since we know Morgan had openly announced his return. And Sammy's information would have bolstered Morgan's alibi. But how did Sammy find out about Morgan's return before the newscasters did?
How? Well, I suppose... Oh, Morgan himself.
Yeah, it had to be that way. Morgan told Sammy to spread the word around and then killed him before Sammy got too drunk and let the fact slip that he'd seen Morgan a day before Morgan was supposed to arrive. Sammy's only function was to help protect Morgan's alibi and get the three people he was after thoroughly jittery and on the run. Morgan's job would be simpler then.
It really was. But how did you know he killed Marlowe?
Well, you didn't. No gun. I didn't because, well, because it wouldn't be proper. And Kerrigan didn't because Marlowe had taken his gun, remember?
Oh. Gosh, Simon, the way you say it, it all sounds so simple. But it isn't. And I'm grateful, and... There.
Well, that was a nice kiss, but fleeting.
Well, in that case, let's take a little longer, huh?
Mr. Templer. Hey, Mr. Templer, I...
The saint, huh?
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here's our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast, you heard Joan Banks as Wendy and Larry Dobkin as Louis. Paul Frees played Sammy and Ed Max, the bartender. Barney Phillips was Kerrigan and Tony Barrett, Marlowe. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
Tonight's script of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is now starring in The Winslow Boy at the Las Palmas Theater here in Hollywood. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Theater Guild on the Air tonight stars Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Angela Lansbury, and Cecil Parker in the dramatic triumph, The Voisey Inheritance. And in 1 hour, it's The Big Show. An hour and a half of the best in comedy, music, and drama with Tallulah as MC. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That's this week's Relic Radio Show. I will be back next Tuesday with another hour. In between now and then, you can find more from Suspense, The Saint, past episodes of this show, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes at RelicRadio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how all of this is made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.